Okay, I'd like you to take a look at these signs that New York City has put up. And frankly, they're driving some people crazy, not just because of what they show, and they can be hard to look at. They're graphic ads of diseased lungs, brains, teeth, and they've been put up wherever cigarettes are sold. But they're also controversial because of what some people argue they represent. Government, over the top, getting involved in ways that they think they really shouldn't. Now, you won't be surprised to hear that tobacco companies are fighting that ad campaign in court. They claim that the ads violate the rights of store owners and the First Amendment. Let's bring in Patrick Reynolds. His grandfather founded the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. Patrick is working with the anti-smoking group TobaccoFree.org. Also with us is Jacob Sullum, who is a columnist and senior editor at Reason Magazine and Reason.com. Patrick, let me start with you. I mean, you do have to be 18 to buy cigarettes. We're talking about adults making up their own minds, and it's not as if people don't understand now that smoking is bad for you. So is this an example of government just really putting its nose someplace where it doesn't need to be?
Really not at all. And this whole argument between the pragmatists who do what works and the ideologues who follow blindly an ideology that we don't need the government in our lives is ridiculous. I'm more in the favor of the pragmatists. In this particular case, the tobacco industry has had its gleaming packaging of cigarettes, paid for shelf space behind counters, previously on the countertop at child eye level next to the candy. Kids didn't know it was paid advertising, and it was right in their face where they could easily steal the cigarettes and get addicted. And the tobacco industry would just replace any stolen cigarettes. So now they're behind the counter in most states, but it's still paid advertising space, or they're giving the steep discounts on their products to get the store owners to keep those displays highly visible, making tobacco look like a normal, regular American product to our kids. And I don't feel that this, the tobacco industry has used the First Amendment to protect their right to continue to advertise. And one day, when we have more forward-thinking, more liberal justices in the courts, I hope that we are going to have a court who sees that there's a difference between a guy that gets up on a box and says, the sky is purple, and corporate advertising, corporate speech. In this case, in the case of the tobacco industry, a $12.8 billion per year ad campaign last year.
You brought up First Amendment. I'm going to interrupt you there, though, because you brought up First Amendment. And Jacob, I want to ask you, do you think there are First Amendment issues at play here?
Yeah, there are a couple of serious First Amendment objections. First of all, the city is forcing retailers to carry a message that these retailers don't necessarily agree with. The message essentially is don't buy the products that we're selling. Secondly, they are taking up valuable advertising space. As Mr. Reynolds conceded, especially in a tiny newspaper stand or a little bodega, there's very little space for point-of-sale advertising, and by making them put up these posters, they're taking away from their right to free speech, in addition to making them engage in speech that they don't agree with. And plus, there's a statutory issue. Federal law preempts precisely this sort of requirement by states and cities. They're not allowed under federal law to impose additional requirements beyond the warnings on the packages and the ads that the federal government requires.
Yeah, don't you think that most of the people who go to buy cigarettes already, Patrick, know exactly what's going on? And the warnings couldn't be clearer on the packages.
Well, let's remember, too, that it's kids, young teenagers, 60% of smokers start before the age of 14, and when they go to the point of sale and they've been seeing gleaming, positive images of tobacco products behind the counter, it's time. This isn't advocacy. This is education. And for New Yorkers who may be a little disgusted by some of the imagery, the diseased lungs and so on, I think that they're willing to tolerate it in order to have some counter-advertising there at the point of sale. It's not advocacy, it's education.
It does, Jacob, seem kind of sexy. It seems like in a lot of movies and when we see the tabloids, there's a lot of celebrities and movie stars who smoke. I understand what you're saying about the First Amendment. Do you understand the reasoning, though, behind having these there? If indeed that statistic is correct, that 60% of these of smokers start before the legal age.
Sure. I understand the reasoning. The reasoning is that we have a good cause, so it doesn't matter what the Constitution requires or what federal statutes require or what the proper role of government is. That's the basic reasoning. So we're in favor of censorship as long as it's in a good cause. And I don't agree that this is education. This is persuasion. This is aimed at getting your attention. Everybody knows that smoking is bad for them. They know there are health risks attached to it. With these posters, the city is trying to reach that audience that does not share the values and tastes and priorities of public health bureaucrats and are harder to reach. I understand the reasoning behind it. It's, look at this. This is what your lung is going to look like. This is what your brain is going to look like. Your teeth are going to rot and so forth. And, you know, it may work in some cases, but that the fact that it might be effective doesn't justify violating the Constitution or violating a federal statute.
Well, New York City has certainly reopened the debate. And Patrick Reynolds, Jacob Sullum, thanks for taking part in it.
Thank you.